The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 360. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is with me. We did it. We did a full 360. I don't know. I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but it just stuck out to me. I mean, 360 is one of those. We are back together at the brand new, upgraded, elite level Casa de Cole Coffee.
Platinum Lounge level.
The Platinum Lounge. I like it. The Casa de Cole Coffee is rolling strong over here. I'm still impressed with your digs over here, man. It's you get settling in now. Is it home? Is it feeling like home?
It is. I finally got my first HOA violation today.
Oh, then it's home.
I feel like I'm here.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
Here's
your fine, sir.
You piece of shit. Get back to the hood.
That's amazing. Well, at least, somebody has to come take care of your violation, right? I mean, you're renting, so somebody's got to come handle that, right?
That'd be me. They send me letters, and then it's on me to do it, unless it's something major or something like that. Yeah. So like this one, if it's the whatever. So if it's a light bulb, yes, it's on me to fix the light bulb. If it's a wiring thing, then it needs to be over the threshold to have maintenance come out, or it's on me to fix it as well or whatever.
Boy, life is great, isn't it?
I know. But as for everything else, it feels great. It feels great to be over here. It feels great to be 3 minutes from the UFC Apex.
Oh, that's amazing.
You know, really quick and easy. But no, I do like it. It's definitely a step up from the old place. We're getting used to it.
I'm impressed. Every time I walk in, I'm impressed, man. People don't know. Yeah. Your boy Cole Coffee's rolling five star right now these days,
star,
man.
Huh?
This is awesome.
It's probably a little bit much for just me, but
it is. But who cares?
Who cares?
It's your money. Spend it the way you want to.
That's it. Can't take it with you.
Enjoy yourself. All right, listen. It was a good week in Houston, man. I thought we had a good week on the road together. It's been a while since we've done that. UFC 271 was fun. Got home. I know you had the direct flight. Did you make it home in time to watch any of the Super Bowl?
I watched a good bit of it on my my iPad. Southwest has that free live TV, so
Ooh.
I can literally just pull it up on the thing.
Oh, you're a convert now. You're a Southwest Airlines guy now.
It was a pretty baller move on their part, but it's funny. I started watching it, then I flipped over to watch a show on Netflix.
Wait. You turned the Super Bowl off while it was on live to watch something on Netflix?
I did. I watched it for a little bit, and then I was like, it's okay. I was like, the game's okay. The first quarter, I was like, it's okay. Like they're getting going. But I turned it off, and then it was like the universe was like, hey, all right, your show's over. It's like, go back to the Super Bowl right as the halftime show kicked
off. Okay, so you caught the halftime show.
I did. It was dope.
Solid, right?
It was funny because like the girl next to me was watching it. She was bopping. I was bopping. You could see people all around like that were watching on the plane. Everybody sort of bopping their heads.
That's funny.
But it was cool. And then after that was done, I went back and found another Netflix.
So you didn't even watch into the game. You
I
just
watched
it
a little bit more.
Show.
I watched it a little bit more. But yeah, I got the best part. I got the halftime and I got a little bit of commercials.
So here's the way I got it done in my house. Because I wanted to watch the Super Bowl and I wanted my family to be hanging around. I've been gone all week. You know what I mean? So I wanted to hang around. But like my kid really doesn't watch. I mean, he'll watch a little bit, but not a whole game. I mean, he's nine. I don't think I watched a whole game when I was nine either. And my wife, you know, she'll watch a little bit of football too, but she used to watch more before we had Eli around, right? So in order to get them to watch, I made squares, like I made a squares thing, but I only put their names on it. I didn't even put my own money on it.
Okay.
And then I let my kid pick a winner, and he had to use the point spread as well. And I put up like $50 of my own money. I basically became the house and basely set them up to win $50. So my kid ended up winning $30, and my wife won $20 based on the squares and the pick. So I think they had a good time. It kept them interested because, you know, there was some money on the line. But it did dawn on me at one point. I'm like, okay, I think this is a good idea. I'll keep my kid interested, and we'll all get to hang out and watch. And I'm like, I am teaching my 9-year-old to gamble.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, did I do a good thing?
I didn't even think about that.
Or have I really done bad?
Well, I mean, I guess you're teaching them skills. Those are life skills. It's life skills. I guess, but it's one of those things, you know, is it a slippery slope where you always have to pay for your kid to hang out with you?
That's true. Like, hey, son, you want to go hang out and watch movies? Like, you're going to have to pay me $20.
Yeah, yeah. Like that. Well, last time we hung out for a few hours, it was $50. I guess the going rate is about $25 an hour. sure, Dad. Where are we going to go? Want to go fishing? I hear that takes 4 or 5 hours.
I didn't even think about it that way. That's great. Well, we had a good start. All right, listen, halftime show. I'm going to ask you. I don't know how much of a halftime show connoisseur you are, if you catch it every year. This was good. Okay, this was fun. I really did enjoy it. But I'm going to say I still contend that I think Prince was the best one.
Prince was great. I mean, he just had such a command, and the stage show was bigger and better because it could be around him. I think when The Weeknd, was that the Super Bowl or what was his show? Oh,
yeah, The Weeknd.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, that was good.
That was absolutely fantastic. When they could build it around one person, that one person's movements, the choreography, it just works really well. When it's done perfect, I think it gives you one of those impressions that you're just like, wow, that was just fantastic. But also, you gotta commend the fact that there were a lot of moving parts in this particular one. The sets,
like almost too many, though, right? That's.
But that's the cool thing that me as like a theater person,
right,
knowing what it takes to move all that stuff and get it together, I was thoroughly impressed at the, you know, a lot of the transitions were very, very seamless. You know, so in that sense, that it wasn't the craziest, most elaborate set, but the fact that they were able to. They were climbing on it in one moment to jump down in between, to walk between different sections the whole time while the dancers are doing their things. Even that, you know, just having all the extras being able to make sure that they follow their cues and they're hitting their marks and stuff. But when it boils down to it, I loved the Prince one. I thought it was just fantastic. The music obviously hit on another level.
Yeah.
But out of the songs they put on this one, there was only one song that I wasn't really the most familiar with.
And of course.
It was like one of Kendrick Lamar's songs,
right,
or whatever. I was like, I think I know this song. But as for the other ones, I was like, dude, this is like the hits of like our day, you know? So it was incredible. I thought Mary J. Blige did incredible. I know some people were questioning why she was there because I guess she's not really Cali, and I guess they were trying to keep it straight Cali or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I thought she fucking knocked it out of the park. It was great. But, yeah, Prince was a heavy – I mean, it's going to be hard to surpass Prince because, one, he has the songs to back it up.
Catalog's amazing.
You know, I mean, his catalog is – it'd be like going out there and watching the Beatles go through, like, their greatest hits.
And then
and
it
stuff.
Actually rained while he's singing Purple Rain. Yeah. I mean, come on. I think that added to it.
Well, I hear he had easily control it. He had a one-on-one he's got direct phone calls.
He's
to,
like, bro.
To the man. He was like, yo, I need it to rain at exactly this point, and if you don't, I'm not going to make another great song for you.
We're going on at 8:30, God.
Yeah, make it happen. No, that one was – I thought it was great. Prince, I mean, it's going to be hard to top that. I mean, if that's the goalpost, I mean, you're going to be hard-pressed to ever beat that.
It's tough, right?
But I thought The Weeknd was incredible, his show. But that was another one where there was a lot of songs that I was like, wow, I can't believe it. I think someone that would do well, which maybe he has done it or something, but when Justin Timberlake did the one of the music awards show,
yeah.
It went through his catalog,
yep.
and I started thinking, like, holy cow.
Oh.
I was like, you start forgetting all the songs that he has, you know? And I thought that was fantastic. So I don't know if he's done a Super Bowl, but if not, he would be, I think, would be a pretty incredible
one.
Well,
he was the one that was with
Janet Jackson,
but I don't know if he did one on his –
That was like – he was like a baby back then. I mean, that was all about Janet Jackson, you know. But pretty interesting. I mean, it's tough. I mean, I don't know if anybody to this day – I mean, it'd have to be somebody fantastic, like maybe Tay-Tay. because I love Tay Tay. Could unseat Prince as the greatest Super Bowl halftime show ever.
Oh, that's great.
But yeah, I mean, you're going to be hard pressed. But I thought it was fantastic, though. I mean, I literally was like in a plane, but I was like, man, if I had Twitter right now, I would say I thought that that was really cool. But it hit me on a nostalgic level.
Of course, yeah.
And then the production. I thought it was pretty amazing. I even like Dre just playing his role. That even when Eminem's singing, he's doing his thing. Dre's got that fake white like mixing board, and you know, and he's doing his thing. He's holding his finger.
Yeah,
I was like,
that was
fuck,
pretty
Dre
cool.
Staying in character.
That was pretty cool.
And then he hopped over and hopped on the piano. I was just like, gosh, I think people forget how talented that dude is.
Amazing.
So no, it was good. But
Justin Timberlake, by the way, I'll co-sign on that. My wife made me go to a Justin Timberlake concert one time, yeah. And I was like, oh man, because it was like a
he's fantastic.
It was a Sunday night. It was a Sunday night concert in Vegas where we were flying home from an event. I don't remember which event it is, but we're always tired on Sundays, you know, because you're up the whole night. Fly home, and I was like, oh, this is gonna be a pain in my ass. Dude, it was good. He's amazing at concert. I'm just gonna throw that out there. So if your girl ever wants to go take you to a Justin Timberlake concert, sign up. Don't feel bad. It was really good.
Yeah. Bruno Mars might be another one to kind of challenge the guys. What's that group that he's doing? That Silk Sonic?
Silk Sonic.
Holy cow. Those motherfuckers are talented.
Yeah, yeah.
That shit's smooth. Like, I listen to stuff like that. I'm like, that's the stuff I want to sing, but I don't got the voice. I would be digging. Bruno might give, knowing his catalog that he's starting to build and his energy level.
Yeah, yeah.
I can see him challenging Prince for the throne as
well. I agree. Well, listen, thanks everybody for joining in to Super Bowl halftime
roadshow. That's a wrap.
I should probably say this Super Bowl halftime show discussion is brought to you by the fine folks of Legendary Spirits and or Legend Spirits, I should say, and of course what we're drinking today. You know, as you know, that Legend Spirits has taken care of us over the past month and really been supporting the MMA Roadshow with a fine selection.
Vocal.
Oh, just keeping them nice and smooth. And today it's the Legendary Duke. Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey.
Yeah.
Gotta love a little Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey.
Saddle up again, pilgrims.
John Wayne, or Duke to his family and friends, will endure as an American legend, a dedicated craftsman, and a patriot. Duke Bourbon is crafted utilizing John Wayne's love of a bold, smooth, full-bodied bourbon from a recipe that until now was unknown. Created from handwritten notes and bottles preserved for over 40 years in the family archives.
Duke. From the Duke himself?
Saddle up, Bill.
Wow, I had no idea.
Duke is distilled in Kentucky the old-fashioned way, incorporating the highest quality ingredients aged in charred new American oak barrels. We proudly present an American bourbon that embodies John Wayne's dedication to craftsmanship and quality. But, yeah, that is cool because, you know, we had the legendary Duke tequila, which was incredible, right? The extra yolk.
So good.
But it did, you know, I'll be honest. At that point, I hadn't researched the bourbon. I was saving the bourbon for later because I wanted to start with that extra añejo tequila. But even I wondered a little bit. I was like, what's the connection with John Wayne? Like, did you just want to use his name? And that's all. But now when you get the bourbon, that's when you find out, no. This is not just, we're saddling up with the name. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, no, this came from the recipe, which is awesome. And this
so what's the tequila? He just killed a lot of Mexicans in movies?
Yes, that's exactly what it was. Like, and it was like an illegal thing that they owed him that, basically, at this point.
This is kind of what we talked about when we had the tequila. It was super, super smooth, but we talked about the barrels that they use when they age this stuff. This is every bit the complete opposite, where not in terms of like it's not smooth, but in the fact that you could taste that smoky.
Yeah, this has that smoky barrel. Oak barrel, whereas that didn't because it was aged.
It's very bourbon. I guess it wouldn't be bourbon if you didn't have that.
That was aged in the wine barrels. That's where that smoky flavor comes. It's aged. Yeah. So, yes, it's aged in those barrels. So
I mean, it's good.
But it's good. Dude, literally everything they've had, I had a –
it's been really good.
Oh, my gosh. Everything they have. I'm telling you, support them. If you can find the product, definitely go get it. It's worth it. So far, we haven't found a single thing where I'm like, we'll say it's good just because, you know, this is good.
It
man.
Wrecks your shit. Like, drink it and enjoy it, but just make sure you don't have anything else you have to
take
do that
an Uber.
Night.
Take an Uber.
Take an Uber. And if you have stuff you have to do later that night, get it done before because it will wreck shop.
Solid advice. Solid advice. Yeah. All right, listen. I wanted to ask you real quick a couple of questions about UFC 271. Not so much the results, but, you know, now I'm a part of the rankings committee. And so, like, I feel more comfortable talking about them, right? I know the UFC's official rankings. The hankings. The UFC's official hankings sometimes take a beating from people, and I understand why. But one of the reasons I decided to go ahead and start voting in them is I feel like if you're not doing anything about making them better, then what's the point? You know what I mean? So why just gripe about, oh, man, who's voting in these things? Nobody's voting in them. Well, then go vote in them, right? If you're not part of the solution, then what's the point of complaining about it?
I love Dana's part of the night when somebody asks him about the rankings.
And you guys are going to vote on it?
That's you guys.
Nobody in that room is voting on it. Now it's me. Now, now I'm one of the guys. So they've added some. All right, so here's the ones that were kind of wild to me, and I'm going to be honest with you. You tell me. Tai Tuivasa, I'm going to start with Tai Tuivasa.
Okay.
Jumped all the way up to number 3.
Yeah.
I had him at number 6. I think that's a – I think to me – I don't want to shame
your
opinion.
Where was he at before that? Was he
down low? I want to say like 12, 9, 10, 11 maybe, right? Or something. I mean, okay. He was down pretty low. I feel like that's
too
much.
Maybe he was 9th. I think he was 9th.
So here's my heavyweight right now. Obviously, Francis Ngannou is the champ, so he sits at the champ status. I have Ciryl Gane as – I still have him at number 1. I know he just lost. It was a fight I thought he could have won. You know, that's the first loss of his career. So I have Ciryl Gane as number 1. I have Stipe Miocic at number 2. Obviously, you know, maybe has a better resume overall, but has not been nearly as active. You know what I mean? He's not fighting frequently enough. So that's why I have him at number 2. I have Curtis Blaydes at number 3. I mean, and I know he lost to Derek Lewis, so I'm thinking maybe that's why some voters – maybe that's why they put Ty over Curtis Blaydes, because it's like, well, Curtis beat Derek – and I mean, Derek beat Curtis and Ty beat Derek, so maybe that's how. But I don't think you can do that. I don't think that's the way you look at it. I think you got to look at head-to-head matchups. I think you got to look at total body of work. So I have Curtis Blaydes at number 3. I have Alexander Volkov at number 4. I have Jairzinho Rozenstruik at number 5, and I have Tai Tuivasa at number 6. Now, I can see argument over the Jairzinho one. That was a little bit of a stretch to me, because Jairzinho's had some losses, but the losses are to Blaydes, Gane, and Ngannou. So you're talking about literally those top names up there, the champ, number 1, number 3. So I have Ty at number 6. And to be honest with you, I think that clears out an awesome fight for Ty with Jairzinho. Maybe you could do Volkov. I think Volkov has a fight lined up right now, but if he gets by that. But I think Ty and Jairzinho would be a perfect stylistic matchup. But I don't know. I want to get your impressions, because I'll be honest. When the rankings came out, so what we do is we submit our rankings, and then obviously they send them out. And when I saw Tai Tuivasa at number 3, I thought that was too high.
So does that mean they just take the majority of what everybody is thrown in, and that's how they eventually settle on?
You move them all together, and there's like points for number. You know what I mean? How it's like 15 points for number 1, or however you want to do that, and that's how it all comes together.
Interesting.
That means that probably everybody had him at number 3, other than me, or maybe even higher.
I mean, that's a big jump, but you know, I mean. I like the names that you said. I mean, it does make sense. When you start throwing out some of those names, you know those guys have been doing work. You know, even Rozenstruik, you know, Blaydes. These guys are fighting the fights. But, man, I guess if it came down to, you know, outside of just even looking at the body work, like you said, if it's mano a mano and the head-to-head matchups, I mean, he took out the guy in fashion a lot better than anybody else that's faced him.
It's true.
And you would think that if it was like a gladiator school, you know, where it's like it's kill or be killed. I beat the guy on top. Am I not now the guy on top? You know.
And I did. And you know what? I reflected that by dropping Derek Lewis all the way to number 7. So I have Ty at 6. Yeah. And I have Lewis at 7.
That, so he's at least below him.
But
I mean, the 6 makes. I mean, 6 makes sense. I mean, it does make sense. I mean, if he was only 9th, and say he beat the number 2 or number 1, I don't know if it's just a gut reaction that hates to see somebody jump up so high in one particular thing.
I think that's part of me too.
But if you beat the number 1 guy that's right behind that was just challenging for the champion, just because you maybe even, you know, don't have maybe as many fights against the guys in the top 5 as others, you kind of cut the chase, you know.
Right.
Went straight to the big guys and took them out.
It is always tough. Like if you're number 15 and you fight number 2, like are you now number 2 if you beat them? That's a tough one.
I mean,
right?
It's a tough pill to swallow, because I think most of us realize that. I mean, for the rankings, it's always been over, like you said, the body of work. You know, these multiple fights. But maybe in the sense of sometimes when it comes to like the heavyweights, or maybe it's just those that are currying favor, I'm not opposed to maybe they don't have to just waste a lot of energy doing multiple fights. If they just get in there and have like these incredible performance against the guys at the top, who am I then to say, okay, well, you beat number 3, but now since you've only had like one fight against a guy in the top five. You need to fight two more guys in the top five before I consider you that you at number three. And then at some point it's like, well, you know, he already went out there and put on a perfect performance. And if he's firing right now, who's to say that that couldn't happen if he fought the champ?
Right.
I mean, granted, Francis is fighting on another level right now. I wouldn't want to rush to be at the top of that division. I don't know if anybody at the top of that division right now, outside of just saying that they're getting a chance, wants to do it. Cyril was a guy that had all the pedigree, the size, the history of training, that if there was anybody that had insight to possibly get past Francis, he was there. And Francis turned the page and is on a whole nother level right now. I love Stipe to death. I don't see Stipe beating him. If they gave Stipe a rematch right now, Stipe's not going to beat him. There's nobody right now in the top five that's even with their best day that I would put money against Francis right now. Francis is firing so good. So I'm not opposed to shaking up the top five.
Yep.
Just to let some more blood in there, you know, some new blood. What Ty was able to do, and when he just bit down on his mouth guard and just stood there and took everything that our boy gave him and then, you know, gave it back even more so in those vicious elbows, I'm willing to shake it up a little bit. I don't, you know, some of these guys going out there, you know, I feel like we make them go through so many hoops when they put on particular impressive performances. Why not? I mean, it'd be one thing if he went out and beat number 10 and then beat number 9 and then we're like, okay, I'm not going to, you know, push him up too much. But he did beat
a top guy.
He beat the guy that was at the top. And I mean, I think right now if you put him against Cyril, I'm not so sure Cyril just gets him. You know, I think we would probably say, oh, he's going to wear him down.
Cyril be a pretty good matchup.
You know, he's going to wear him down. He's going to use his whatever. We see Ty doesn't get tired because the way the fight that he goes, I mean, he's not expending a lot of energy, and it's just about that chin. I mean, I would love to see that fight, but I you know, as much as I love Stipe, I think Ty and his chin would beat Stipe right now.
I think Curtis is the worst matchup for him, right?
Curtis is the worst because his wrestling is so good and he's such a strong.
And he doesn't care if you're booing him or like.
Right.
He'll
literally just grind
him.
I
will
just
lay
against
on you.
That's
Sorry.
It. That's it.
I'm here to win my fight and collect my second paycheck.
Right. So Styles makes fights. I mean, he would grind him out. But that's the kind of thing. I mean, if Ty could weather that and get up and get the fight and do some damage, I mean, he could easily knock him out.
I think Volkov is a tough matchup for him, too. Body types, you know.
With length or whatever, but.
That's a problem. But
I question Volkov anymore.
I think Jairzinho would be a great fight for him. But, you know, I hadn't thought about could they put him as high as Cyril. But, you know, with him being at number three, I guess you could put him with Cyril. And that might be a favorable matchup. At least it's somebody that's going to strike with you and not necessarily threaten you.
It would be a good fight, yeah. It'd be a good fight to give Cyril a chance to show that he's still. But also, what does that do? It kills a person that they're trying to hype up and get a contendership. And nobody's rushing to see Francis versus Cyril again right now.
No,
I'm not.
No.
You know, so no. You almost want – you almost – in Cyril's place, you have to give him somebody that's not maybe the next possibly hottest dude. Give Cyril, I don't know who to give him, somebody to make him feel good again or something.
I think the tie matchup is not bad.
I like,
it's
I
not
mean,
bad.
I like it just because, I mean, what you know, the UFC loves to strike while the iron's hot right now. I mean, and the thing with Ty, I mean,
dude, his stock is so high now.
It's as high as it's, I mean, obviously it's going to get higher if he goes for the title, but the thing is, like, Ty, it's not even like he's like really chomping at the bit and saying, like, give it to me now. He's just having fun. He wants to enjoy himself. I think he's enjoying the ride. It kind of reminds me of like when Kevin Holland was just destroying dudes without really even trying.
Right.
I feel like we're getting incredible results from Ty with him giving us maybe 70% of what I think he's capable of. He's winning off on pure heart and just grit. And I feel like
what if he wasn't the only guy in the UFC that drinks more than we do?
I know, right? I mean, like, I feel like the guy goes to the gym, has good sparring sessions, and then goes and gets literally pissed like every other night.
Oh, I love it. You're using the terminology.
I know, right? So, I mean, he's just the kind of guy that, I mean, and maybe that's part of his strength, but I mean, at some point, you know, that will wear his body down. But, so I'm not I don't mind the jump because, you know, he did beat you know, what sucks that he beat a good favorite of ours, of course, Derek Lewis. But
there was not going to be a happy ending for that fight. For wow,
yeah, I mean that was
happy ending, by the way, no, just because of what the connotation. There was not going to be a favorable outcome for that fight for us, no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, out of the guys up there, I'm not opposed to shaking it up a little bit. I think a lot of the divisions get really stagnant at the top because guys aren't trying to fight guys below, and they're not really willing to kind of put it on the line. At some point, you just need to kind of push it. But it's hard to say, okay, you know, oh, he's number nine. You're moving up to number three or whatever. Like, well, he just dethroned number three. You know, you didn't dethrone number three.
It's true.
You know, so.
All right, I'll say this. Other thing I want to say about the rankings, the middleweight division. The USC rankings. The middleweight top five match mine exactly, which is Adesanya, of course, is the champion, leaving Robert Whittaker at number one. I mean, he's right there.
Yeah.
Jared Cannonier at number two. Marvin Vettori at number three. Derek Brunson at number four. I did struggle a little bit with Derek Brunson because I have Derek Brunson at four and then Sean Strickland at five. I struggled a little bit on whether I should drop Brunson below Strickland, but left him there. So Vettori, Brunson, and Strickland. And then my only difference is I actually have Jack Hermanson in front of Paulo Costa, whereas the UFC rankings, the group rankings, has Paulo Costa at number six. I actually have Jack Hermanson ahead of him, but just I feel like Paulo just, again, activity, you know.
That's it. I mean, out of sight, out of mind.
That's it. I have a spreadsheet that I use. This is like behind-the-scenes stuff, inside baseball, but I have a spreadsheet that I use for rankings that basically shows all the last 3 years of all these fighters side by side, because I like to visually see it because I can't remember everything.
Yeah.
And if you look in the last 3 years, Paulo Costa in the last 3 years, yes, he has a 13-2 record, career record. I know that's probably more impressive than Jack Hermanson's 22-7. But Paulo Costa is 1-2 in the last 3 years. Yes, the losses are to Vettori and Adesanya, but you know, the one win against Yoel Romero, who's not even, you know, not even around anymore in the U.S. So I don't know. To me, I still have Hermanson at number six and Costa at number seven. But I want to say my top five match there is exactly. And then the other thing –
that's pretty good ones.
The only other one I wanted to point out that I think was a mistake, and it's not a very consequential mistake, but it's still I think a mistake. So with Roxanne Modafferi retiring or losing, whether you say it's because you're pulling her out because she retires or if you're pulling her out because she lost, that opened up a slot, right? So you're bringing in one person. And the name that was brought in by the panel was Aaron Blanchfield, who I think Aaron Blanchfield is an absolute talent. But mine was Tracy Cortez, who actually beat Aaron Blanchfield in Invicta. And I think if you look at their career records side by side, you look at their win streaks that they're on, yes, they both deserve to be in the conversation, but Tracy Cortez beat Aaron Blanchfield. So for that reason, I have Tracy Cortez at number 15 in mind, but it didn't register. So there you go. I think I want to talk about these rankings a little bit more. I didn't usually ever talk about the UFC rankings because it's just people. I never talked about the UFC rankings because people just, you know, pooped on them, and I understand why. But I decided to take part in them because I thought, you know, if I feel I'm so much more of an expert and these people that are voting are not, at least I can be a part of it and try to make the rankings better. So there you go.
There you go. I like the names of those fives getting in there in the middle. I like seeing Strickland's name in there. I mean, that's pretty interesting. But, yeah, you're right, man. Cannonier and Brunson, man, that was an interesting fight. But, man, Cannonier, man,
vicious.
He looked really, really good. And you hate to take stock away from Brunson. But, man, I'm kind of interested to see where Strickland is, where if he's a step above that. I mean, those two, I just tried to do a quick look unless I miss it. They've never fought. That would have been interesting. Fighting, you know, figure that'd be one of those ones where maybe Brunson would get his hands in there and kind of do one of those, you know, dirty, grungy, hold him down. I don't think he's going to want to stand and strike with Strickland. I don't even know if Cannonier is going to want to sit there and stand fight with Strickland, but can't hold anything against these guys. I mean, that's a tough group of fighters, but. Again, that's one of those ones, man. If people are getting these moves, you know, at some point you just almost have to shake it up a little bit, or, you know, you get places where the champs just, I don't want to fight. I've already fought this person. Then it just gets stagnant, and at some point, you know, and who knows, man. The rankings have always been kind of weird because the UFC doesn't, you know. I think if maybe they had more control over it, then maybe they would – have to book fights that made more sense in terms of
rankings.
Well,
that's the thing is that the rankings, they can do whatever they want with them. It would be interesting if, like, you know, you were talking about like the big jumps and all that. Like, it would be interesting if, like, hey, the ranking comes out. You know, one is obviously fighting the champs. That means two, so that means two and three are fighting. Four is going to fight five. Six is going to fight seven. But that ain't never going to happen. So.
That's never happened.
All right, listen, busy week in the combat sports landscape, especially MMA related. Of course, Bellator is this weekend. We won't have anybody on site in Bellator. I know Nolan King is on site a lot for Bellator, but of course he was in Houston this past week, so we're not going to have anybody on site MMA Junkie, but we will, of course, cover
getting his
Bellator.
Big break.
Yeah, that's right. Got the big opportunity there for him to come cover his first UFC event. BKFC, we will have Danny Segura there. We're not going to spend a lot of time breaking down BKFC by any stretch of the imagination, but I will say, you know, if you haven't given BKFC a shot, I'm not trying to, you know, stump for them right now or whatever, but look at this lineup. Mike Perry versus Julian Lane, Luis Palomino versus Martin Brown, Chad Mendez is in there, Britton Hart versus Christine Fajeda, the rematch there, the title fight. But, I mean, you know, Mike Perry, Julian Lane, Luis Palomino is a name that probably everybody remembers. Chad Mendez, the debut of Chad Mendez, Britton Hart versus Christine Fajeda. It could be it's a grudge match. They do not like each other very much at all. But that's on the BKFC app on Saturday night. And the thing is about this one is it's not a pay-per-view. It's you sign up for the app, and it's $4.99 a month. So that lineup right there, you can technically get for $4.99. And if
Dana. So that's not pay. That's but not behind a paywall.
It's not behind it. I mean, it is behind a paywall, but it's not.
Thank you, Dana. It's only $5. I get it.
It's
I
free.
Get it.
If it's not $50, it's free. That's funny. All right, fair point. There is some money involved in it. I see what you did there. There is some money involved in it, but it's not. They're not asking you $50 or $60. So I'm just saying, you know me.
Is it a one-time deal or is it like a subscription?
It's a subscription thing, but you can cancel your subscription if you want. So it's up to you. But if you want to keep it,
all their fights will be on there for just that fee.
All their fights, unless they do a pay-per-view. So yeah, it's five. Unless they do a pay-per-view, which
aren't they always?
No, they do like these big ones, but like their normal stuff, they'll be on there. So anyway, just throwing it out there. So if in the past you've been like, oh, I was going to watch BKFC, but it was $50. I don't want to spend $50. You don't have to spend $50.
That's much more manageable price. That's a good price point right there.
And we'll have Danny Segura out there, so we will have full coverage of MMA Junkie. So if you don't want to, I totally understand, but we will have coverage for you.
Because that's what we do.
That's exactly what we do. And by the way, let's throw it out there. PFL Challenger Series debuts on Friday night. Yes. And listen, man, they're not going to have this very often.
Fubo?
But I thought, bro, okay, so I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know where to find Fubo yet. I'm going to find it this week. Yeah. I got to figure that out today or tomorrow. So I did just buy
it. Check your smart TVs.
So here's the thing.
I don't even think Apple TV has it.
That's interesting. So I just bought a new TV.
It might have.
Just bought a new TV. And, no, actually, it came with.
You bought a fucking widescreen. You bought what was taken off the Dallas Dallas was like, Jerry Jones was like, I don't need this anymore. Will you take this?
I'm not going to lie, dude. I spoiled myself a little bit. So
I was talking to your boy about it last night. I was like, it's as big as you. He's like, it's as big as you. And I was like, it's not quite that big.
So but I splurged for a 75 inch.
That's true.
So yeah, it's really big. It's
damn, Jerry Jones.
Oh my God, I'm
Jerry Morgan.
It is. It's like Jerry's World in there. It's like the Texas Stadium in there. It's AT&T. It's nice. But I did notice it comes with maybe it's 3 months, maybe it's 6 months. I can't remember, but I remember getting an email because I bought it from Best Buy and had it delivered. And then like as part of the package, like they sent me an email that like you can get, I can't remember if it's 3 months or 6 months, but free Fubo Sports Network or whatever. So I'll be honest with you, I don't know exactly where to. I guess it's like its own app. So I'll be honest with you, I'm gonna learn along with y'all this week. But I just wanted to point this out. Well, first of all, I know that personally speaking, we're both at least excited to see Josh Silveira in there, right? I mean, Conan Silveira's son. We've watched his rise up the ranks. We've watched his rise up LFA. You know, double title holder in LFA, and now we're seeing this. And look, Conan's just one of the best dudes in the sport.
He's one of the nicest guy ever. He's literally the giantest, biggest dude, but he is like the nicest, kindest person. And the best thing I could ever say, and I don't know if I've ever actually told him, I once, and this is one of the greatest of my life's achievements, somebody once mistaked me for him at.
I don't even think I knew this.
It was when we were, you know, at the. It was Wolfgang Punk's Pucks. It's funny because it was while I was eating.
So I like Wolfgang Punk's, by the way.
They didn't get to see me actually standing. They probably would have not thought that I was actually him. But somebody that knew him, it was after a media day or something where they had the lunch there at. Mm-hmm. MGM.
Wolfgang Punk's, yeah, where they used to do that. Punk's. Yeah, yeah, we'd have media.
And somebody
there.
Walked by and she doubled back and she peered her head in. She's like, hey. And I was like, hey, what's up? You know, just thinking it was like a fan of Junkie or whatever. She's like, I'm so sorry. I thought you were my friend. I was like, oh, well, I'm sorry. I'm not your friend. Who's your friend? She's like, Conan Silvera. I was like, shut up. My beard was a little bit bigger.
I can see it
at the time.
In the beard.
It's with the beard and stuff. Yeah, so we're both big, jolly, happy, smiley guys. But he's a scary jolly happy guy.
He is.
But he is literally he's always been so super nice and kind to MMA Junkie. But the fact that his son obviously doesn't fall far from the apple tree there.
I talked to his son. I talked to Josh. The first time I talked, we had obviously watched him fight, but I'd never spoken to him. Yeah. But I interviewed him when this whole first thing was announced. It was really interesting to hear. You know, I was like, talk about like growing up. He's like, dude, he's like, I didn't know that like everybody didn't do this. You know what I mean? He's like, this was just my family life. He's like, you know, like growing up and there's all these legends, on the mats and the Gracie family.
Yeah,
and Vitor Belfort.
Imagine we grew up around.
Oh, yeah.
That's just ridiculous.
He's like, my first jiu-jitsu class. He's like, I don't remember. He's like, my dad used to like carry me around in his arms, like teaching jiu-jitsu. He was like, he got to a certain age and he was like, I just thought everyone did this. Like, I thought everyone knew jiu-jitsu. And, of course, if you think about his age, you're talking about a while back. I mean, more and more people are doing jiu-jitsu, but they didn't. So, big opportunity. So, I'll be tuned in. Obviously, it's this new format where they're, you know, kind of looking to secure a PFL contract. But I will say this, and I don't think it's going to happen a whole lot, but they picked the perfect date for their debut because it's Friday night. This is a weekend that has UFC, Bellator, one of the biggest BKFC shows that they can put together. And yet those are all on Saturday. Fight Pass, there's nothing on Fight Pass on Friday night. Like, so it's, I mean, they've got a clear runway for the MMA fan. So I would say, if you're thinking about maybe giving this a shot, if you can find a way to get Fubo, like I said, I'm not trying to be mean. I just don't know where to get it. I'm going to sign up for it today or tomorrow, so I'll be ready and I'll be signed up. But this will be a perfect weekend to check it out because there's nothing else going on.
Isn't PFL on ESPN?
PFL is on ESPN.
I'm really surprised, man, that with as much content as they like, that they didn't pick
it. It is kind of interesting. I'm curious about that as well. I know that, like, wow.
I wonder if they asked for money to put it together, and ESPN's like, oh, we already put in enough money on the actual show.
I think my understanding, maybe, and let's say it might not be a deal where, and I don't know this, again, I don't know the inner workings of how this worked, but I do know that Fubo has like a gambling component to it as well, or at least they're working towards having like a gambling type aspect to it where it's like live, online, real-time gambling and stuff. And so I wonder if it wasn't a situation where PFL was like, hey, ESPN, do you want this? Nah. Okay, we'll go somewhere else. Or if it was more like Fubo who wants to get into this saying, hey, man, here's what we got. What do you think? Can you provide us something? Because it is weird. But, I mean, look, dude, if you can have – it's one of those weird things, right? Like, on the one hand, it's a little bit confusing from a viewer's perspective. Like, I don't know where all your stuff is. I mean, we used to see –
that's the most confusing
We used to
part.
See it with – remember, even the UFC, it was like – well, you're going to catch the early prelims on this channel.
FX.
The prelims are on that channel. It's confusing.
Spike.
But if you think of it, but if you're if you're a business, if you're the PFL, to think that I'm getting rights fees from two different companies, that's a good place to be.
Yeah.
Except for the consumer confusion.
Yeah, I mean the consumer confusion, and usually if somebody's buying you outright for the exclusive rights to all your stuff, that's a decent amount. I wonder if it's a matter of, yes, you're getting two bits, but, you know, you're getting smaller numbers because you were able to spread it out or something. But regardless, it could have just been the fact that the ESPN's like, we want this, but we just can't possibly find a way to sandwich it in with other stuff that they're already kind of doing on the Plus platform.
Like, we can't have a Contender Series and a Challenger Series.
Yes, because then I think that there would be confusion with that. Somebody would be like, wait, didn't I just watch this show? And like, no, that was the UFC.
It would be funny if they were like, this is Pete Murray's
maybe
Contender
Series.
Maybe it
boils down to that. Maybe it just boils down to the fact that they thought it would be confusing, or the UFC is like, you already have this show. You know, do we need to have another show with fighters trying to fight for a contract? Where have I heard this before?
Yeah,
you
right.
So maybe it's more of that.
This is a wholly unique concept.
Ours starts with PFL, not UFC. Duh.
It is. So again,
and they're not contenders; they're challengers.
Now it is going to be a little bit different. Obviously, like Tyron Woodley's involved, Vitor Belfort involved, Ray Lewis involved.
Great people. And that's great people to have involved.
From what I understand, like a fan vote is part of it as well. Like I don't think the whole decision is fan voting, but I think the fan voting is a big part of it too. So, oh no, I'm anxious to see. I'm tuned in on Friday.
That could be interesting. I hope. Yeah, that's good.
Man, what do you think they're going to get, like, sandbags?
Sometimes when I watch shows that have the fan aspect, it just – you get that kitschy little moment where you're watching and you want the show, and they're like, hey, this was great, but this is great, but we'll be back. But here, pick up your phones, dial this number, do whatever, and I'm just like, oh.
Well, it's that kid – oh, this is – I can't – oh, I shouldn't even say it. Oh, there was a kid on American Idol. I can't remember his name. There was a kid on American Idol that sucked, and he made it like all the way to the finals
because
people
vote.
Kept like voting him in. Like,
I guess if that's what they're hoping for, I mean.
But hey, if the fans are interested,
the fans are interested. I guess the fans have spoken, you know. But hey, man, it's something new. It's a new take. We've been saying it for a while, watching The Ultimate Fighter and other stuff. We're like, how can you switch it up? How can you do something new? Here's a new take. You know, they might have something within the show that knocks it out of the park, you know. So I'm interested for that aspect. And I like the people they got involved with it. And, I mean, PFL has been doing great things. They've been putting on some good events. And
The broadcast team is solid.
You got to think that it's going to be something interesting, but still, man, this, you know, I think all of us that are in this bubble are like, man, where is there any time to fit something else in? But
well,
they're somehow.
Listen, man, that's the key, right? Like, yeah. I mean, look, we struggle to watch everything, and we're paid to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we're paid to watch everything.
Yeah.
So I am curious how this thing is going, because if it doesn't make a splash, man, it's hard to cover.
And especially on a different platform.
Well, especially on a different platform, and especially on a platform that, I'll be honest with you, I don't know much about. And I get it.
And you have to find, watch FUBO.
I get it. I'm old. Yeah. You know what I mean? Maybe FUBO is, like, the hottest thing on, like, I don't know. So
in terms of streaming platforms, I mean, they are established. They are out there. They have been on stuff. In fact, I think there was a time where, you know, with the USA Today Sports streaming and stuff, I think Junkie, we had a channel on FUBO there for a while. Now I think it's just Sportswire.
All right. Well, what I meant to say is the fantastic platform of FUBO Sports Network.
I mean, it's that IPTV, man. It's the new wave. I mean, like, you don't have cable. I don't have cable. It's the way to be. I mean, I think things getting away from just the broadcast norm.
It is, but you know what? This is the buy-in. I guess what the difference is, you're right, I don't have cable, but what I do have is every channel I used to have on cable delivered to me a different way, right?
Yeah.
Like I've got
– right.
I mean, obviously Netflix would probably be the outlier. That'd be the exception, but that thing has become like universal. Like everybody knows Netflix. But I have like HBO Max. I have Showtime Anytime or whatever. Like that's just Showtime. I have DirecTV streaming or whatever. It's literally just – everything I had before, I just have it via a streaming platform. Whereas this is just a whole, like, there. I don't, as I understand, I don't think there is like a lineal network to maybe. I don't even know.
No, I mean it is. It's all just a streaming channel, and you just need like an app to either a smart TV or like a Roku. I don't think Apple TV has it.
That's interesting.
To interact with it,
because I have Apple TV.
When you pull it up, and then
you'll
see like channels in it and all the other kind of good stuff, but. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, it's good for FUBO. I mean, like, I think when I go through a lot of those platforms, nothing's driving me to FUBO. I usually find myself going there because I can't find anything on all the other – after I've exhausted all the other means. If I look on Netflix, oh, I can't find anything. Oh, Hulu, I
can't find anything. Which is insane to say, like, I can't find anything on Netflix.
It's like I can't find something. I mean, there's always something, but then you're just waiting for something to just jump out at you. And then at some point, you know, you're like, okay, well, I'll try this FUBO. Let's see if we see anything. But now with them doing this, they're asking, and it's going to be on them. It's going to be a big lift on them to re-educate or educate people that there is this FUBO platform to go watch these things, because there's a lot of channels, a lot of stuff that I think that people forget that are going there, or it's other channels that exist elsewhere that are also getting dumped in this area. It's a big ask to ask people to go to another platform. Yep. So I hope it works out. But if the content's good enough, I mean, I think we all, believe and understand.
People will go.
Yep. People will go. If you tell me this awesome show, I mean, that's the whole reason why we get some of these other ones. Like when Game of Thrones was on Showtime or whatever, and you didn't have Showtime, but you wanted to watch a show, what do? You go out and you get it, you know. So if it's good enough, it'll drive people to it. So regardless, I mean, I'm just glad PFL. I mean, for a while there, I felt like we were like, is PFL going to be around?
Here they are. Feels like they're strong.
Making new series. I mean, like, good for them. I mean, and it's giving fighters other platforms to go out there and put –
Make money.
I mean, and they have, if not, the greatest or the second greatest upcoming or like women's female fight. Well, maybe they will have her.
We'll see.
maybe they will.
Right? Danny Segura was down there talking to Kayla Harrison. She's like, man, I don't know what's happening.
That'd be an interesting conversation again for another time, because I'm a little surprised that hasn't been settled at this point.
My understanding is they threw a very lucrative contract at her. Like, they want to keep her.
Yeah.
And
as they should.
As they absolutely should. So I don't know what the holdup is. I'm not sure if it's, because I wouldn't think it'd be like length of contract, because she seems to me like she doesn't want to sign for more than like a year.
You know what I mean?
Like
she
that's one thing she liked, is that like, hey, I could sign this deal and then I could still go to the UFC next year. I could still go to Bellator next year. I could still go wherever. So I don't know. I'm interested to hear what the holdup is. All right, listen, we're covering UFC Fight Night 201 this week here in Las Vegas. Of course, we did Media Day today. By the way, back at the Apex with no mask on, man. That was
incredible.
I'm just going to say.
Seeing people for the first time without, like.
That's what I was going to say. I know this sounds weird. Like, listen.
I walked in and saw the security guy. I was like, oh, so that's what you look like.
Right? I literally said, I thought I had the same thing. Like, listen, we don't get political and all that. We try to just have fun and drink beer and talk fights. But, like, the mask thing or whatever, like, it never bothered me. Like, it is what it is, whatever. I'll wear a mask. But now that it feels like we're towards the end of this thing, and now that, we literally just got back from Texas where nobody wears a mask, now that we
doesn't
go to Arizona. It is kind of just nice to not have to deal with it. So I brought my mask today just in case, because I wasn't sure.
In my pocket.
But that literally was the first one. I'm literally like, I forgot what you looked like. Because it's like people that just – like, because the staff there, they don't get to take their masks off. Like, we get to take our masks off because we're speaking into microphones and we're doing interviews. The staff doesn't.
Like, tell me to put it back on. I'm not coming to the next one.
Wow. Cool, Kai. But it was fun to see people. I will point out, just for anybody that's curious, we don't know yet about weigh-ins, and we don't know yet about fight night, because it's not just a UFC decision. It's a Nevada State Athletic Commission decision as well. And so from my understanding is they're still trying to figure out all the details. So we don't know. We may have to wear masks. We may not. I don't know.
They won't. I mean, they're so in tune with, like, the governor. Like, if the governor's like, don't worry about it, I'm telling you, no indoor
mask. That's a good point.
Mandates.
You're right about it, because they're government appointed. I mean,
they're government appointed by the governor.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
that's
like,
a great point. So it's got to be, no.
I think it's got to be fine. And I think there was even a point, too, where they were good with it. I remember talking to the commission, being like, no, we're good. You know, we're not asking whatever. But then as soon as the governor was like, okay, the mandate's back or whatever, and then they started doing that line, and now that the new man is in charge, well, he's the new executive, whatever.
He's executive. He's officially in. Yes. Jeff Mullen is now officially in as
so
the executive
maybe we can
director.
Lean on him. But I mean, I know last week he came in, he wasn't wearing one.
We weren't here last week.
Well, the last week that I saw,
he wasn't wearing. He wasn't.
I don't think when he first came in, he didn't have one.
By the way, shout out to Jeff Mullen. I think
he's
we've talked about
nice
it before,
dude.
But I'm telling you right now, I'm so happy that Jeff Mullen is the executive director now of the Nevada State Athletic Commission, because I'm telling you, this dude is incredibly nice, incredibly accessible, incredibly passionate about mixed martial arts. Like, I would honestly say, I've been in Vegas. I moved to Vegas in 2008. So I guess 13 and a half years at this point that I've been, attending commission meetings and watching. He is, and this is no disrespect to Keith Kaiser. This is no disrespect. I actually liked Keith Kaiser a lot.
Kaiser was fine.
He was a great dude. I like Bob Bennett a lot, too. Bob Bennett, we always said, like, Bob Bennett's passion was more boxing than MMA. He wasn't bad.
But he's still a nice dude.
He's a nice dude. But I'm telling you right now, Jeff Mullen is so passionate about MMA and so knowledgeable about MMA. I think Keith Kaiser knew about it, but not in the way that Jeff Mullen does. I think Bob Bennett knew a lot more about boxing than he does MMA. Jeff Mullen, I'll be honest, I don't know what his boxing knowledge is, but I don't cover boxing, so I'm not worried about it. But I'm just saying, for MMA, I feel so happy that he's the guy.
I feel like we got one that's on our team.
Yep.
In there.
That's funny,
right?
Right
spot. He's on our team.
He's on the MMA team.
And the fact
team.
That, I mean, like, they can easily, like, he's the guy that you guys are like, who the hell is this guy you're talking about? If you watch any of our recent weigh-ins at the UFC Apex, he's the guy doing the weight.
Yep.
He could easily have some other dude out there.
Absolutely.
I mean, Bob would show up. I mean, not like Bob. I don't want to make this sound like I'm, like, picking him out. Bob would show up for the big ones.
Bob rolled in for the title.
He rolled for the big ones, and that was it, you know. But Jeff's in there doing – he's there week in, week out, yep. You know, like doing what needs to be done. I mean, I think you could tell by the staff around, they enjoy him. They respect him. I know we enjoy him and we respect him. So, yeah, I'm super stoked for that. But, yeah, I mean, when it boils down to it, the governor's kind of went and said this is how it is. So I assume that the commission will follow suit. It'll be up to, you know, when we get back to, you know, T-Mobile or whatever – then I think it'll be a joint between the venue,
then the venue
and,
can still
and
say
the venue
something,
and
the right?
commission. Yeah,
it's a good point. Yeah, the Apex may still say no. You still have to wear them,
but it's
and
the
they're
Apex.
Completely
I'm thinking like
T-Mobile. I mean, no, I'm sorry, T-Mobile. Yeah. Sorry, no. The Apex is not going to say anything. T-Mobile. I misspoke there. Yeah, T-Mobile might still say like no. We still know. So we'll know about that, I guess.
And who knows? Maybe if the commission's like, I don't think you need it. Maybe T-Mobile like, you're right, but T-Mobile's going to have their staff. I don't see how their staff anytime quickly, because they've been jump. They made everybody jump through so many hoops, which is what you were supposed to do. I'm not trying to say like, I know a lot of people now are like, oh, you know, you're still wearing a mask, and after all this shred, there's some people that are just so fucking hateful and evil out there, whatever. Like they want to discount all the deaths, and now I'm trying not to be political or whatever. But T-Mobile and a lot of the staff, MGM and all them, for so long the past year, 2 years, have been jumping through these hoops, even just to maintain work, you know, doing what they need to do to keep working.
God.
So for them to do a quick 180 on all that, I don't see that happening as quick in their just because they've been drilling people. I just don't see them, because I feel like they would – have to admit, if you can quickly just say, oh, we don't need it right now, even though it was this, like, as of last week, mm-hmm. were you guys wrong in making it that way, you know? So I can see them doing a slow, gradual release at, like, T-Mobile. But as for, like, the Apex, I'm half expecting that Friday we're going to go in there.
I hadn't thought about the government monopoly thing. That's a great point. I bet you're right. By the way, in honor of episode number 360, I just want to go ahead and say, because you said that they're doing a 180 right there. I want to say one of my biggest pet peeves in life is when people say, I did a complete 360 on that. Have you ever heard people?
Oh, yeah. Because then you're going back in the same place.
You're right in the same place.
You start making me doubt.
I know that's random as hell,
yeah.
But I think that's one of my biggest pet peeves in life is people say like, oh yeah, man, I've done a complete 360 on that. Like,
yeah.
So you're still facing the same direction, are you?
Yeah, at that point, because if you just spin in a circle, you're not moving any
direction.
You didn't
change anything.
You just stayed still.
All right, let's talk about UFC Fight Night 201. We did have media day earlier today. That was before we broke open the bottle of Duke's Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. It's solid. It's going down smooth right now. Main event, Johnny
not
Walker
as good
versus
as tequila.
The extra añejo tequila. The extra añejo tequila is on another level.
It was on another level,
on
right?
Another. This is like, this is really good bourbon. Though.
I know you like bourbon,
I like
whiskey as well. But which do you like between the two of them? Like, if you had to lean, a bottle of this and a bottle of that.
Bro, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'd grab the extra añejo tequila. Like, this is
oh
good.
My goodness.
And I didn't drink that much bourbon until I lived in Lexington, Kentucky for a year.
It's more of an acquired taste.
When,
I feel like
I like
the
bourbon.
My palate. Like on this, I get much more of a range of like it's hitting more spots because it's just the smokiness in one flavor. You know, you're getting the oak, you're getting all that other stuff. And I mean, like, I have to feel like I have to sit down. Like, if you're like, hey, I'm breaking out the bourbon, I'm like, oh shit, let's sit down, let's talk, let's have a cigar.
After I
want a cigar with this.
Oh, cigar with this would be solid.
Tequila, I'm just like, let's just fucking dance.
But
get naked.
Remind me not to come up here when you're drinking tequila again. But yeah, no, I you know, no.
After
listen.
You left, shit got really weird here.
Well, I appreciate you waiting until I walked out the door. No, this is a really good bourbon, and I like bourbon a lot. But I will be honest, you're 100% right. But the only reason being that extra añejo tequila is on another level. So like,
unreal.
I'm totally happy.
I wonder
drinking
what this,
this
is like. Retail.
Totally happy drinking this. But
do you know what this one is retail?
I don't. But
it's really good. And again, that's just personal flavor. Like, but I think any night when you go out and you start drinking liquor, you know, you want to kind of. You decide where your buzz, you want your buzz to go, and what.
This is more of a normal. This is more of like a $40-$45.
Still a good bottle of whiskey.
Still a good bottle of whiskey, but I mean, it's not that. You know, it's not that.
Should I go? I love Jameson. Jameson at the supermarket's like $28.
Right.
This is like twice the cost of that. Yep. So obviously, like, they're putting some work and stuff. I mean, it's
everything
delicious.
The Legend Spirit has done so far is awesome, man. I think they're official sponsor of Cage Fury Fighting Championships as well. Just saying, we appreciate their kindness here at the MMA Roadshow. All right, let's talk about Johnny Walker versus. Speaking of liquors, let's talk about Johnny Walker versus Jamal
let's
Hill.
Pick up another liquor.
Actually, you know what? No, in honor of Legend Spirits, we're not talking about Johnny Walker at all. Hell with him. We're just talking about now. Jamal Hill. Listen, intriguing light heavyweight main event. Man, here's what's really intriguing to me is, you know, Johnny Walker 1-3 in his last four. Man, this is a guy that just, I mean, it felt like the world was his. You know, people were like, man, this dude might be the guy to unseat John Jones, and now I feel like that's fallen off, and understandably so. I didn't know, and I apologize because I probably missed this. Man, there's so many things going on. Because I did think his final couple rounds last time against Thiago Santos, he looked very flat. And today he explained, he's like, well, yeah, I broke my foot. You know what I mean? And I didn't say anything to anybody
about it.
Was it
his big toe or something?
He broke his foot.
Was it just the whole foot?
I'm assuming like the arch of it or something. Yeah. But anyway, I mean, even if it's your big toe, try supporting yourself with a broken big – it's hard.
I could be combining other foot injuries. You never know, but
I don't know. Sucks. So that is a little bit eye-opening to me. And he even said, you know, he's coming off surgery. He's coming off a year away. It wasn't him. Meanwhile, you have Jamal Hill who man, I felt like Jamal has a chip on his shoulder right now, which I kind of like. You know, I feel like he's like, dude, people keep disrespecting me, and I'm not okay with that. You know what I mean? I am that guy. Just because I lost one fight to Paul Craig, I had one bad night, I feel like people are disrespecting me, and that's not all right. So this, of course, was not supposed to be the main event. It was supposed to be Rafael dos Anjos versus Rafael Fiziev. That got moved to UFC 271. So now it's your new main event. They are going five rounds. Neither of them seem to have an issue with that. I did pick Jamal Hill coming into this, but I kind of wonder, especially now knowing, because I'll be honest with you, I watched that last performance and I thought, man, this guy had a year away and this is what he's got. Like, and I felt like, did this move to SBG Ireland? Like, are they trying to coach
people
the craziness out
that
of him?
Move, man.
Yeah, well, but I watched that last performance. I thought, are they trying to make him like different? Are they trying?
Yeah.
And now I find out
how they fight.
Now I find out he broke his foot in the fight. Like, that kind of changes me for a little bit. So I went with Jamal Hill. I will say, after doing the media day today, that I'm kind of wondering if, okay, maybe I was a little too quick to write off Johnny Walker in this particular situation. I don't know. What was your take coming in? Did anything change today?
I mean, I picked Jamal as well, and I think it's just because I just, you know, he's the guy that people were overlooking and just goes out there and he does fantastic stuff. And, you know, he's powerful. He's got great hands. He's not the biggest guy, you know, so I kind of – and I just – I don't know. I just like him. I like how the staff sort of rallied around him, and I think maybe collectively that helped push him more in my mind as well because everybody else is just so high on this kid.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, regardless of that, when I saw Johnny walk in, Johnny is – just ginormous
specimen,
man.
Specimen.
He is. I mean,
and by the way, how about the fact that he is actually younger than Jamal Hill?
I did not know that.
Which I did know that Jamal. I think people forget.
I knew
sometimes.
They're both not old by any means.
I think people forget a little bit that Jamal is 30 because a lot of people talk about like he's, you know, he's only got 10 fights. A lot of people talk about him being the future, and so I think when you think of him, because I've caught myself a couple times like thinking, what is he like 25, 26? And you go, oh, he's 30, which isn't old, but it's a little further along. But it is funny because I was asking Johnny Walker.
He's just starting to get man strength.
He really is, man. He's starting to settle in. Whereas, you know, and obviously it's tough because Johnny, English is a second language, but I did wonder if he felt similarities. Like, I feel like Jamal is kind of that guy that's got the buzz right now, whereas Johnny used to be the guy that had the buzz. But, and you know, now Johnny's a little bit more of a veteran, you know. And I asked him, and Johnny was like, he's like, by the way, I am younger than him. And I was like, I know that. I wasn't saying that, but he's right.
I mean, I like the fact that Jamal, you don't see him go out of character is not the right word, but he doesn't throw a bunch of silly stuff just to throw silly stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he does out there, he's very calculated. He's very powerful with his hands. I don't see him putting himself out there to make some of the mistakes that these guys that go and try to do something flashy just to be flashy. You know, he's not going to throw a spin, you know, spin keel. And he even talked about it today. He's like, yeah, that stuff's great. And yeah, if it catches you, It can knock you out. It can knock me out, but it's just a waste of energy.
How
a lot
long
of time
can you
I
do
just,
that?
Yeah, how long can you do that?
Keep trying.
Keep doing it again. You want to do another jumping knee? Do another one. Do another one. Oh, I see it on your shirt. You obviously you must like them, you know. But no, I mean, I still feel confident in that pick. I did like everything that Johnny said, though. If the fact that he did have an injury, now he's coming back 100%. If his mind is right. I love the artistic side that he's, you know, being able to, you know, not just live in this bubble to where he's not, you know, maybe he's going to overtrain or maybe just get in there and blow the moment. But, man, that size, it's when that weigh-in happens, I mean, and maybe Jamal is one of these kind that, you know, that when I see him up against Johnny, he won't look as big, but maybe it's the way he was sitting at the desk today, kind of relaxed, laying on, you know, kind of leaning forward on the desk. Johnny was just, when he came in and sat down, I was like, man, do we need to get a smaller chair so he's not as high up? He was right. Just a big dude, you know. So I think when we see these two at a weigh-in, I think the difference in size is going to be one of these things where people might start doubting themselves. But when it comes down to it, I think I'm willing at this point to stick with the pick because I just want to believe that Johnny, that Jamal is just firing and he's hungry. Like he said, he's a hungry lion. And he's here with his kid. And we know nobody wants to lose in front of their kid, you know.
Definitely
so he's going to go out there wanting to throw down. And I just liked his attitude today. I liked his energy level.
I like a little chip on the shoulder.
Yeah,
I like a little chip on the shoulder.
I do too. So I think unless I see something crazy that would maybe make me change my mind, which I don't see why, I'm gonna ride with Jamal for this fight.
I like
to
it.
See.
Co-main event: Kyle Daukaus versus Jamie Pickett. Of course, I'm gonna homer for Kyle Daukaus, CFSC veteran. By the way, catch weight of 195 pounds. Just in case you weren't aware, and that wants to factor into how you think about the fight, be aware it is 195 pounds. Jamie Pickett, of course, stepped in on short notice after Julian Marquez was forced out of this fight. Kyle Daukaus has been through like a weird stretch. You know, he had that big win over Kevin.
Why was he? Don't know.
I haven't heard specifics on the reason. I think just injury.
Just wondering. I didn't know if I just missed it. I was like, I don't remember hearing why.
I don't remember hearing specifics. If I missed that, then I'll apologize as well. Like I said, a lot going on. I didn't hear a specific reason. I think it was just one of those injuries behind the scene. But Kyle Daukaus has been through kind of a wild stretch. You know, he had the overturned fight with himself. The Duke is rolling, brother.
You done settled up, pilgrim.
He had the overturn with Kevin Holland. And then, of course, you know, he's had some changes and some cancellations and all that. So it's been kind of a rough ride for Kyle Daukaus. I'm still rolling with him anyway. But Jamie Pickett, man, I think this cat is so interesting. And I love the fact that he talked about it. Man, this is a guy that it took three times from the Contender Series for him to get here. You know what I mean? He finally gets here to the UFC. He loses his first two fights, and now he's got, you know, a couple wins under his belt. So it's like a guy that just, like, fails but keeps going and fails and keeps going and fails.
Three times.
It's amazing, man. And I love that type of perseverance. Like, you're not going to stop me. And he has said
– they obviously wanted him. If he kept getting
giving opportunity, they definitely thought he had skills.
Well, they obviously saw something.
And he said, he's like, listen, man, the cameras screwed me up, man. I thought
that was so refreshing
nervous.
As well.
I love to hear it, man.
I
got nervous and it scared me. And right, went and talked to a sports psychologist. You know, he's got me in the right place.
Apex is a perfect place for that, too.
Listen. And I'm not disrespecting anybody that does technical breakdowns by any stretch of the imagination. Like, I value the hell out of them. I mean, I was talking to Robin Black yesterday. Obviously, our own Dan Tom is a phenomenal breakdown guy. But I will say that one of the things that interests me about this sport so much is the psychological aspect of it. Like, it is a mind fuck, dude. Yeah. Like, it is
this
a complete –
this whole sport's a mind fuck.
It really is.
The fact that any of them are willing to go in there and have somebody – they want to test their heart. They want to test how they're able to – to push that fear down into the bottom of their stomach and get in there and throw down. That's the whole nature of this sport.
Right.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. But it's like the fact that he's like, oh, the cameras get to me. I was like, oh, that's just normal shit.
Normal.
Who likes to public speak? And then you get in there and throw down. I'm like, this whole sport is a giant mind fuck. The fact that they can even just eventually make it in there and throw down is incredible. But the fact that he went out and said that right from the get-go endeared him even more to me right from the get-go.
Too.
I was like, because he could be like, oh, you know, I dealt with some adversity in the past, but that's it. I'm going to go in there and smash this dude. He went out there today, and he looked like a human. you know, talking about real world, real shit. And it was just like, I fucking like this guy, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, not there was any reason to not like him before.
No, just like you said, it endears him even more,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it just makes you like him even more. I was like, fuck, he's a fucking human. I want this guy.
Boy, look at you sounding like Nicholas Motta over there.
I was trying to think of one of his phrases, and I was going to throw it out. I've been fucking working hard to do this podcast, John.
Nicholas Motta was dropping F-bombs nonstop.
I changed my pick.
Yeah?
In case we don't talk about it. I didn't have him initially in my pick, and then I went back, and since he was doing so many F-bombs, I think I even said that in my words, because when we switch picks, we're supposed to say why.
Yeah, we have to give a reason why.
I was going to send it just to Matt and just like,
Matt Erickson, who handles the stat picks, like, it's not ever like he questions, like, you know, like, oh, that's not a valid reason. He doesn't care, but it's just like, that's
you're
going
to make me do more.
If you're
going
to make me do more, you have to tell me why you're changing your pick.
So I wrote today and said, I'm changing my picks because this is the only person that says more F-bombs than me. So I said, that's my
funny
reason to pick.
So we're skipping a fight, but since we're talking about Nicholas Motta, again, I'm going to roll with them. CFFC, you know, I'm CFFC
homer. He was
so
happy to see you.
Oh, well, that's my guy, dude.
Today and he immediately was like, hey.
Hey, man, that's my guy. You know, when they come to the CFFC, we got a relationship. But I was happy to see him, too. Now, granted, he is in a hell of a fight, man. When you're going against Jim Miller, you know, and he even said, like, dude, this is a dude I grew up watching. Like, I wanted to fight people like this. But Nicholas Motta can crack. And I thought it was pretty interesting because, I'd seen on social media that he was training with Novo Nyao, and I was like, why is that? Why did he go down there? Because, you know, I know he trained in the United States for a long time, New Jersey. I think he had stopped off in Colorado for a while. But he said, like, I always go back down to see my family during the holidays, and I got the fight offer, and I was like, well, as long as I'm down here, train with Novo Nyao. And it's kind of cool because, like, you know, this poor guy, man, he earned his UFC contract like 15 months ago, and now he's finally getting a chance to fight. You know, he's had some cancellations and some issues, but, you know, to be able to train at Novo Nyao where you started, I think there's something kind of cool with that, like reconnect to where you came from. And obviously – as he said, Javier Dos Anjos was down there training as well. So, I mean,
that's kind of more unique than anything else. Like, that's pretty incredible.
Not bad, right?
Yeah.
So, listen, I went with Motta. I'm just going to be honest. If you see the staff picks and you're like, what does John know? I'll be honest with you. That was a CFFC
homer
pick. But now that I find out that while he was training alongside RDA, he was down in OBLA, I'm not saying it's crazy.
Yeah,
I'm not
and that gym at one point was the gym. It was the Brazilian gym. I mean, if you weren't in, like, Anderson's camp, this was the Brazilian gym that everybody was looking at and was like, wow. You know, I mean, at one point, Henin was there. I mean, you know, was it Aldo was there? You know,
of course.
You watch footage of that gym, and it was just – it wasn't like some big – you look at a lot of the gyms now, and they look like these super gyms. And I almost think that some of these other gyms in these other countries look and say, oh, that's just America throwing their money around doing whatever. We don't need that. We're going to do whatever. And you'd look at some of the footage back in the day on these Novo Nyao practices, and, I mean, it's just wall-to-wall people. But when you look and you saw some of these people, like, wow, oh, that dude's a killer. This dude's a killer. At one point, this gym was the end-all, be-all. And so the fact that, you know, if they are able to sort of rise again, it was an important gym for the Brazilian people. I know there's a lot of shit going on down in Brazil that the people are dealing with. So I think anything that can help, you know, bolster that Brazilian pride again in a lot of things is really, really cool. So the fact that he's going back there to a very storied gym, you never know. I mean, sometimes it's just those final things. If it's such a mental game, we're talking again about what it takes to get in there and do these sort of things. If this is the kind of thing that is just that extra little bit of a bonus.
Just make something click a
little
bit.
That makes something click in your head, like, I've done absolutely everything that I can in this camp. You know, and I went above and beyond, and I went to the storied gym, and now the champions of old, their power is infused in me now. I mean, like, if that's the kind of shit, you know, good on him. I mean, I loved used to watch the old footage of those guys training down there.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just fantastic.
Just a Spartan gym, dude. Like, it wasn't like they were –
nothing fancy at all. There's nothing fancy at all there. But, I mean, like – and you saw cats that were there that, you know – did whatever they could, you know, were sleeping on the street, sleeping off the sides just to get into the gym and doing their thing. Like, that's all it was to them. So you knew if you were there, it was no joke. Like, these people were really going all in, you know, whereas you could pay your money, you can go to a nice fancy gym or whatever, and you think you're getting what it is, but are you really with the people that are giving you their everything? Because it takes everything that they have to even be there. So, I mean, I love it. It's funny because he's such a smiley, happy kid, man.
He's dropping F-bombs.
But he was dropping them. But it's like every time he said it more, I was like, it was like somebody taught him the new word and then challenged him. You must say this 30 times today or I'm not. And if you do, I'll give you $50 or something. but it was fantastic. But no, I mean, it's cool. And so when he said that, you know, all the diehards that listen to us and all the diehards that watch Junkie get it, what that gym is. But it's for those that maybe are just coming on and maybe stumble upon that and don't understand the history of where he's talking about, where he decided to go back and do. It's huge. I mean, it's big. At one point, it was the alpha male versus them. I mean, it was all the UFC could talk about was always this gym and, like, some other U.S. gym that was going against them. So that's pretty cool, man. That's pretty cool.
I'm excited for it.
Maybe Chip, I just miss Brazil.
I think I just miss Brazil.
I mean, everything down there just sounds better. It's shiny. I miss it.
It's been a while. All right, so the fight we skipped over there was Parker Porter versus Alan Bardot, heavyweight fight. I'll be honest with you, I picked Parker Porter here. Alan Bardot, I still don't get – I don't think I have a firm grasp on where this guy is because he looked phenomenal in the first round of his last fight against Rodrigo Nascimento and then got finished in the second round. It like just totally stopped. And he said, you know, he did get kicked in the groin. Maybe that changed his focus a little bit, whatever.
I would be done.
That'd be done. Yeah, especially at heavyweight. Dude, a heavyweight kicks you in the groin? Yeah, I'd be like, I'm out.
I'm still waiting for my nuts to come back from my stomach.
So I took Parker Porter. I'm just going to be honest. It's just because I feel I don't have a real firm grasp on who Alan Bardot is. I think when he's on point, he looks amazing. I just don't know if he can keep it together. And I think Parker Porter, while not necessarily the flashiest guy in the division, is kind of that blue-collar dude that can gut through some tough stuff and maybe get out of wins. So that was my thought process there. And then the main card kicks off, of course, with Joaquin Buckley versus Abdulrazak Al-Hassan. By the way, I think I finally fixed it in my mind. It was always Al-Hassan me, but it's Al-Hassan. Dude, I just don't see how that fight is not absolute bonkers to start the night off.
It's
in the main
absolutely
card.
Crazy. If I feel like it's stupid to think that we're chasing as we both knock out.
I don't think you can ruin this one. I don't think you can ruin this one.
You really, really can. I mean, you got two killers going in there, and neither one of them is the kind to back down. And they're both in just incredibly physical shape. And they like to throw down. Neither one of those guys is afraid to go out on their shield. And I think it's going to happen. It's going to happen for one of them.
I think so. Yeah, I just think that one's ending with fires. I homered on that one, took Al-Hassan as well. But I do think he has the ability to win, man. I think now that he's back, and man, his you know, just his demeanor today was so much better than it had been. I mean, we've talked at length, if you listen to the show, about what Razik went through, and it was not a good thing for him. But it feels like he's finally back, you know what I mean? And that dude is dangerous if he's back. I think the main card, dude, I think it's honestly – listen, it's a crowded night. It's a crowded landscape. Bellator's on. BKFC is on. And I think this is a BKFC where – I'll be honest with you. I'm going to be on press row inside the Apex with BKFC pulled up on my computer as well. I'm going to be watching that in the corner. So this is a crowded landscape. I get it. But I do think that this is going to be a fun night of fights. Just kicking out the prelims real quick to run through it, man. I will say another one, if you don't have it circled, I mean, I think if you're a hardcore, if you're listening to this, you got to have Gabriel Benitez versus David Onama circled as a way to just absolutely – I mean, that could be an absolute cracker to finish up the prelims. So I'm super excited about that. Onama really caught my attention. He was fighting the division up in his debut. Now he's back down at featherweight. Man, I'm excited to see what he does. I think – I can speak for Cole Coffey without him even needing.
Yeah, I think he's looking at their picture right
definitely,
now.
Definitely will be looking forward to the Jessica Rose Clark fight against Stephanie Egger. I believe that may be the fight, the prelim that you're most interested in, if I'm just guessing. Chaz Skelly's in there. I do want to point out one other name on there, Christian Rodriguez. Only a one-time CFSC veteran. He did come through CFSC just one time there, but I will say my man CM Punk was always very high in this guy. Like, obviously, he spent a lot of time in the gym. And you know, Christian's fought at LFA quite a bit. Then he came through CFSC. So, obviously, I'm going to give him some CFSC homer love. But I'll give him some CM Punk homer love as well because undefeated, I know Punk was always singing the praises of Christian Rodriguez. So, you know, he made his way in, and now he's fighting in the UFC for the first time. So, I'll be definitely have my eyes on that. But, dude, it's going to be a busy Saturday night.
It is going to be busy, but yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Are you going to have in the press room? Are you going to have Bellator pulled up? Are you going to have BKFC pulled up or anything
man, you
like
know
that?
Once it gets going, man.
You don't have
just
time.
Just once you get in the weeds, I don't have any time. But, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it, you know. But once it gets going, man, it's just my head's to the – stuck in this damn computer.
I should say, by the way, you know, just kind of glossing over Bellator because we don't have anybody there, but Neiman Gracie versus Logan Storley, that's a really good fight. It's a really good main event. I did go with Gracie in that one for my staff picks.
I did too.
Andre Korshkov is on there. Georgie Karakanyan's on there against Adam Piccolotti. That could be a really, really good fight as well. I went with Piccolotti in that one.
So did I.
Yeah, I think so. That's a good fight, though. So it's a solid little card. And then, I mean, you look down on the prelims. I mean, they're starting to stack the prelims again, which is good. The return of Brendan Ward. We were talking about Nolan King, man. What a piece he had on Brendan Ward. So a lot of fights worth paying attention to over at Bellator as well. So sorry we glossed through it, but there's a lot going on. And
there is
a
lot.
We don't have anybody there. So
yeah, Duke doing its work.
Plus the Duke did its work. Solid work. By the way, see, the Duke did his work so good, I didn't say. If you like what you listen to, do us a favor, please.
Oh, yeah.
Log in, rate us, review us, wherever you listen. If it's Apple Podcasts, that's where I listen. We would really appreciate that. We would also, of course, appreciate any support you might give us at patreon.com/TheMMAroadshow. Everybody that's a Patreon listener, you mean so much to us because it helps us keep the lights on for this podcast that we enjoy doing so much. And of course, if you're over there, you get exclusive access to the and a half. Are we talking about the lights? What are we going to talk about?
I was going to say I was going to say if there's a way to tease that a future potential, because tomorrow we have a site visit.
Okay, well that's what I was going to ask. I said it keeps the lights on. Did you want to say where the lights might be? This
Well, we don't have to pay to keep their lights on.
Well, that's true. the Casa de Cold Coffee is as high level as it is.
Yeah.
We may have found the only property in town better than the Casa de Cold Coffee, but we don't know yet. It's not, you know what, man? We shouldn't.
We don't do it, but tomorrow we're going to do a site visit to another location here in town, another well-established location.
Almost as established as the Costa Rica Coffee, almost as high-end as the Costa Rica. Yeah. I think maybe it's a tough argument. You could make the argument that maybe it's a little bit nicer facility.
It looks nicer. It has programmable screens. I don't really have that. But, you know, everybody's been saying, like, we need more video stuff. There's possibility of us having ties now to a location where, as well as just doing the podcast, if about bringing some more video stuff.
So here's what
and
you
that
have to
might
understand.
Be a separate thing. That's,
here's what you have to understand.
It might even just be for Patreon.
Here's what
you
have
know.
To understand about video is Cold Coffee wants that shit to look perfect.
Yeah.
He ain't okay with the little webcam. That ain't all right.
We've done it. I mean, I guess worst case we can. I mean, and you guys are so polite and nice that you would probably take it if I want to make it look good. But this one would be fucking dope.
I don't want to jinx it.
I don't want to jinx it. But we have a site visit tomorrow to start it off.
We'll say that. We'll hope it goes good. Listen, like I said, patreon.com/TheMMAroadshow. We'll have the and a half this weekend. Man, there'll be so much to talk about. We'll definitely have it. And, man, we're in for a long stretch here in Vegas, man. We're back. We're rolling hard at the UFC Apex. We got T-Mobile next month. So, I mean, we got a stretch here in Las Vegas. Mm. We'll have it covered. We'll always talk about it, you know. So, for now, we'll just say thanks for listening.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.